Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What is up, Spirit Slayers? We are back with another episode of Spirits on Spirits. I got my co-host Aiden here. We got the booze. We got the booze. And we're ready to tell you about some of the spooks, skrooks, skookity kookities, the paranormal plights of none other than San Francisco, the Bay Area, the city on Golden Gate Bridge.
Yep, that's what they call it.
That's what they call it. Aiden, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
You excited to be here?
Super stoked.
Super stoked. So, I already told the peeps that we are headed to San Fran this week. Do you want to tell the peeps what we are sipping on?
So, it's one of my go-to drinks when I'm out on the town.
Nice.
The Tequila Sunrise.
Nice. Tell us what's in it.
So, it's tequila, orange juice, and grenadine. Nice. With a nice little orange garnish.
Ooh.
So I found out that apparently it was made famous by Mick Jagger.
Really?
So it was like invented in Sausalito, California.
Huh.
And then Mick Jagger had one like at like their like kickoff party for their 1972 America tour.
Whoa.
And then he was like, oh shit, that's fucking fantastic.
It's bloody good.
That's bloody good.
And then he had like a bunch more. And he ended up calling that tour their cocaine and tequila sunrise tour.
Wow. There you go. Mick Jagger for you.
So.
I mean, talk about the pants on that man.
And the mouth.
And the mouth. And the hair. I mean, he's just quintessential rock star.
Yeah.
So.
1970s rock star.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. So. All right, we're sipping on tequila sunrises. We're talking San Fran. So how about we cheers and get into it?
Well, cheers-a-rooney.
Oh,
I love a good tequila sunrise.
Yeah, the alternative one still slaps pretty hard on this one. Like,
it's hard to not like it.
No, exactly. Like, a lot of the stuff, you're like, oh, it's good, but it doesn't have the same kick. Like, this one definitely, like, obviously doesn't have the same kick because it doesn't have alcohol in it. But it's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, I am taking us a little outside of San Fran to the Winchester Mystery House.
Ooh. Wait, it has mystery in the name, like that's the name of it, the Winchester Mystery House?
I mean, people just call it the Winchester House, but it's also called the Winchester Mystery House,
the Winnie Misty House.
Ooh, I like that better.
The because of Win Misty.
Ah, I like that one. Yeah, yeah. That was a good movie.
Let's go, bro. Was it though?
Like
I think that
I watched
those,
it
like,
multiple times.
Yeah, because it like it was one of the only
because
ones
I watched
on,
it.
Like,
because
VCR.
Of Winn-Dixie.
That was one where you're always watching, you're like, bro, I think that was like the Mandela effect, where you look back and you're like, this isn't nearly as good as everyone just said
I've
it was.
I've realized that about a lot of movies and shows that I watched as a kid, and I watch them back, and I'm like, wow, this is
you're just like
hot garbage.
It's also just, I so hot take here. This is going to be a really hot take.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
It's really hot. I don't like movies about dogs.
Marley and Me?
Never saw it.
Beethoven?
Never saw it.
Air Bud?
Never saw it.
Well, then you don't even fucking know what you're talking about.
I purposely haven't seen them.
But that's like, not a thing.
No, like, I just...
Just not see something and be like, that's shit.
Well, no. Just, I didn't say they're shit. I just said I'm not a fan of them.
I mean, you're essentially saying they're shit.
I don't think so. I'm not a fan. Movies with...
How would you know?
Because the ones I've seen, I haven't liked.
Which ones have you seen?
Because of Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Where, like, the pug and the other dog?
Milo and Otis?
Yes. Did not like that.
Yeah, that's for, like, three-year-olds.
Not a fan of it.
No shit.
Wasn't good?
I don't know. I just don't think you have enough... I don't think you're educated enough to be saying this stuff.
I'm not sure. I'm just not a fan. Not a fan. I just don't like dogs in movies that much.
Like, it's a fair take. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I will say, at least watch them before you make these rash judgments.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know. Just not a fan. But whatever. We're very sidetracked right now.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Back to the Winchester Mystery House. So, the story of the Winchester House begins with Sarah Winchester. So, she was...
Are we talking Winchester rifles?
We'll get there.
Whoa!
So, she was the widow of William Winchester, who was the heir to the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. After the death of her infant daughter in 1866, and her husband in 1881, Sarah inherited a vast fortune, estimated to be around $20 million at the time.
Ho-ho!
How much do you think that would be worth now?
I mean, we're talking Willie Winchester here. So, I'm trying to think of what enterprise would have been the equivalent, like, at that time. I'm going to go with, like, $700 million.
$500
million. Okay. But that's a fuck ton of money.
Half a bill?
Yeah, being worth half a bill.
Plus, she got a 50% stake in the Winchester Company.
So that's worth
a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. So she made out all right.
Handsomely.
Yeah. She wasn't struggling for cash.
No, not at all.
But
was he the sole heir? I guess no, because she got 50%. So someone else.
Yeah, I think she split it with someone else. But devastated by loss and suffering from depression, Sarah reportedly sought guidance from a Bostonian spiritualist.
Oh, let's go.
Boston is represented in this episode.
Bean Town.
According to legend, the medium told her that her family was cursed by the spirits of those killed by the Winchester rifle.
Oh,
and
that's a hot take.
It's a bit extreme. And that she has to move west and continuously build a home to appease the spirits and avoid death. What the fuck?
That lady sounds like maybe she was scamming you a little bit. Maybe she was playing off the guilt. Because maybe she was, like, feeling guilty that, like, she was making so much money off guns.
What if, like, her husband owned a construction company out in California? And she was like, hey.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do?
Yep.
Hire my husband 24/7 to build a house for you.
That's crazy.
No, that's definitely not what happened. But so this advice, along with a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, which apparently, and I didn't know this, but it does better in a warm and dry climate.
Yeah.
Is said to have inspired her move to California in 1884, where she purchased a modest 8-room farmhouse in San Jose. And began the construction project that would last until her death in 1922.
Whoa. So she literally built it until she died?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Was it really friggin' nice?
It's Huge.
Because she just had to keep building.
Because she just kept building.
Yeah.
So I watched a, it was either BuzzFeed Unsolved or Watch. I can't remember which company they were at this point that the episode came out. But they did an episode on it where they mentioned that at one point it was up to either 500 or 600 rooms. But due to like the amount of remodeling that she was doing, it's now down to 161 rooms.
That's so many rooms.
Massive.
I didn't even know it was possible to have that many rooms at a place other than like a hotel.
Yeah, no, it feels like it would be like structurally unsound.
Yeah, what?
So it has 161 rooms, 40 staircases, 47 fireplaces, 17 chimneys. You're never going to...
17 chimneys?
Dude, you're never going to guess how many windows this
place
has.
Well, I'm still stuck on the chimneys. It's going to take Santa like 5 hours. I was just going to say,
dude, Santa's got his work cut out for him.
He's going to like, fuck, I'm behind schedule. Why, Santa? Because this house had 17 chimneys. Santa would have a tough time with that crib.
Yeah, 17 chimneys is absolutely absurd. And then 10,000 windows.
10,000 windows?
Yeah, like if you told me that like, oh, this house has 20 windows. It's like, that's kind of a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of windows.
10,000?
10,000 is nuts, dude.
Absurd.
Like, absurd.
So what makes the Winchester House so unique is not just its size, but its bizarre and nonsensical architecture.
Okay.
So it has staircases that lead to nowhere. Doors will open into walls or into sheer drops.
Wait, why?
We'll get there.
Okay.
And then windows are installed in floors or interior rooms.
Huh.
It was built with no master plan and reportedly operated under around-the-clock construction schedule for 38 years. So, 24-7, there were crews working on this house.
Bro, the contractor that had this...
scored that contract?
Is wild.
Probably a gajillionaire.
Yeah.
So, the reasons why Sarah did this still kind of remain a mystery. Some theorize that she was attempting to confuse the spirits that she believed were haunting her. So, like, oh, a staircase that leads to nowhere? Like, a ghost will get confused by that. Basically, like a maze. You know what I think?
Interesting tactic.
I think this place would make a killer escape room.
Yeah.
Just like... you just plop some people in a random room and you're like, all right.
Get out.
Get out.
They're like, all right, we give up. And you're like, too bad. You need to get out.
Yeah, I can't help you.
So, yeah, that's crazy, dude.
Others suggest that she may have suffered from either OCD or schizophrenia.
I could buy that.
Yeah. And then more pragmatic explanations argue that she just enjoyed architecture and the means to pursue her passion without constraint were met by
her money.
Her money and this house.
Interesting.
I looked into like that theory a little bit further, and apparently she was subscribed to a bunch of architectural journals, which kind of like lent credence to that idea.
Maybe, or she was just looking for inspiration for her, like before they had Pinterest.
I was just gonna say, yeah, yeah. like an IRL Pinterest board. Yeah. Either way, to this day, the idea that Sarah continuously built to appease vengeful spirits is the most popular belief, fueled by the oddities of the home and her reclusive lifestyle.
Oh, she was a recluse?
Yeah, she was known to sleep in different rooms each night and navigate the house via secret passageways, further enhancing her mystique and the house's supernatural reputation.
Sounds so scary. Like, it working just sounds there?
Exhausting.
Yeah, but also just like, could you imagine being like the maid and just like, oh, I don't know where she is. Oh, I hear footsteps above me in the like secret passageway.
How about I don't know where I am?
Yeah. Dude, Could you imagine you'd have to like draw a map for yourself how to get out?
But
every
even
day?
Then, how can you when it's constantly under?
Yeah, like you might go into work one day and then just go back.
There's
and
an extra
just
room somewhere,
doesn't...
and it's like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
Yeah, because 500 to 600 rooms were built, and 161 remain, meaning that like 400 to 500 rooms have been destroyed.
Nuts. I definitely have to see pictures of this at some point. Because this sounds wild.
Shameless plug for the Instagram.
Yeah.
Go check it out on the Instagram.
For real.
So, now we'll get into the ghosts. So, one of the most frequently reported apparitions is that of a man pushing a wheelbarrow in the basement.
Oh.
He's dressed in old-fashioned work clothes. And he's believed to be one of the many laborers hired to work on the house during its decades of construction.
Huh.
Visitors have spotted him both physically and in photographs. And some staff have claimed to have conversations with him only to figure out that he wasn't a person.
Whoa.
Later on.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So they have full-on
like, he comes as a full-bodied apparition, and then... Like, he'll, like, engage with people and then just, like...
Disappear. That's wild.
Kind of sick.
That's wild. Oh, what are you working on? Oh, you know, just this today. Oh, cool. Hey, a really nice guy with the wheelbarrow. I met him today. Who? The guy with the wheel... Well, he doesn't work for me. What the fuck? Like, that would be wild.
Yeah, you know. The wheelbarrow guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's wild, though.
The full conversations is crazy.
Yeah, that is definitely the wildest part. Like, just having a full... Did you catch the game last night? What was the score? I don't know. Like, that... Oh, man. That would be bizarre.
Another spirit that is said to linger is Sarah herself. She's often felt rather than seen. Many visitors will report sensing a heavy, wrathful presence in the seance room, which is a small, windowless chamber deep inside the house. So, this was a room... This is a room where there was one entrance and three exits. So, like...
How is an exit not an entrance?
So, I think it's like, oh, this thing leads to like, a sheer drop.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. She was the only person with the key to this room. So only she would go in there. And she would only go in at night to do seances, to like talk to her like deceased loved ones.
Gotcha.
Kind of wild to have like a whole room. I mean, I guess if you have 500 rooms, like you might as well dedicate one to ghosts.
I... would have so much anxiety going to visit this house. Like, just the sheer amount of, like, you don't know what's there with drops. Like, I could just walk into a drop.
Yeah.
And then just be gone forever.
I think for me, the fear would be just getting lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, where the fuck am I? Like, and then just, like, getting turned around and being like, I don't know how to get out of here.
I would be so scared. All the time.
Legend has it that Sarah would go into this room every night at midnight to commune with the spirits, seeking their input on how the house should be built next. Paranormal investigators claim that the energy in the seance room is usually strong, and some say that they've captured EVPs, which is electronic voice phenomena.
Whoa.
Believed to be
them
her
ghosts
voice.
Be yapping.
They yapping.
They be yapping.
Sarah's a little yapster.
Oh, man.
Kind of like someone else I know.
That's a weird room. I guess now that I think about it, three exits, they didn't have doors on the other side. Like, maybe you could only leave.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
That's wild.
It's interesting, though.
This lady seems crazy.
She was
in
definitely...
In, like, a spooky way.
Yeah. Yeah, she was definitely an interesting gal. So... The next kind of, like, type of apparition that people will see is the shadow figures.
Uh-oh.
So dark shadow...
That don't sound nice.
Dark shadowy figures are commonly reported by those who explore the house. These shadows often dart quickly across hallways or peek around corners, only to vanish when approached.
Whoa.
The sightings are usually accompanied by sudden chills or a sense of being watched. Some people believe that these figures represent the restless spirits of those killed by Winchester rifles. Others think that they are just byproducts of the building designed to disorient people.
Huh. Which way are you leaning?
Skeptic.
What do you mean? No, no, no. I don't mean in general, just if you were going to say of those two of...
No, yeah, I would lean the skeptical side of like, oh,
it's just the
like,
house.
It's just the house being weird.
I don't know, man. Like, having your whole life being paid for by a weapon, like by a tool of destruction.
We've said it before on different episodes where it's like, it's not just the people that were there that could be spirits there. It's like people that were impacted by things or decisions that were connected there as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, to that extent, like this house is definitely very compelling. But yeah, I just think the house is weird.
Yeah, the house definitely weird. Like definitely weird house. But yeah, no, I for sure am. I think I'm leaning towards the spirits of people that have been shot by the rifles.
Well, I'll get into some of the more like skeptical arguments here.
Alright, yeah. Hit me.
So the idea of Sarah Winchester as a tormented widow who was driven mad by guilt is compelling, but it might not actually like totally reflect reality.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, so there's not a ton of historical evidence to confirm that Sarah was actually obsessed with spiritualism or that she was building the house to ward off spirits. A lot of that was like created later on after she had died, and was popularized by like sensationalized newspaper reports and marketing efforts to promote the house as a tourist attraction. Some people suggest that Sarah Winchester was like a more grounded and intelligent woman than the legends suggest. Like a lot of them say that she was like basically like out of her mind.
Yeah,
like not her right mind.
I'm getting a very like out of her mind vibe.
Yeah,
I mean 24/7 construction, 10,000, like it. You might be out of your mind.
It's definitely a little crazy,
but also too, if you just have that much money and like everyone you've loved is dead, like you might just be like, fuck it. What the fuck am I gonna do to make like create that happiness?
But also the idea that the construction never stopped is disputed too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so evidence has shown that building did pause sometimes, particularly following the earthquake in 1906.
Okay.
Which caused a lot of damage to the mansion.
Gotcha.
Sarah boarded up the most severely damaged sections and focused on restoring other parts of the house.
Gotcha.
Which indicates like a little more like structured approach.
Sure.
To this, instead of just like the manic, like just build whatever.
Yeah.
It was like a,
no, that's
all right,
fair.
Let's like restore it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I buy that. But I still think there's a little bit of cuckoo in there.
She was also like well educated. She was huge into philanthropy. And she did have a genuine interest in architecture and design. So like there's a chance that it was just a combination of all those things. And maybe like, I mean, there is also an argument to be made, like, she was just creating her legacy, like a more of a positive legacy, I guess, because the Winchester rifle is such like a negative connotation item.
Sure.
That maybe she was just like, I want to leave something fun and cool and like kooky.
Yeah.
And she did that, and we're still talking about it 100
years
later.
What about the seance room, though? She wouldn't have built a seance room if she wasn't into ghosts.
I think she did that mostly just to try and contact her like deceased loved ones.
Gotcha.
So there was another part of that like BuzzFeed Unsolved video where apparently they like found a safe in the house.
Whoa.
And then they opened it after her death and there was another safe in there, like in the safe. And then when they opened that, there was just two items in it, which were the obituaries for her kid and husband.
Jeez.
So, like, I think that she was just, like, actually
she was, yeah, she was
traumatized by it.
Up. Yeah.
And, like, wanted to be able to contact them again. So, that is the Winchester Mystery House. I'll start us off by saying, I don't super think that this one's haunted. I'm going to say no on this one. Because I think it's just a weird house. I think if you're in a house that's so weird, like, your mind can play tricks on you.
Yeah, that's fair.
By like, oh shit, there was a shadow, but like maybe it was just a weird staircase that isn't where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, fair, I'm leaning no.
If you disrupt the constructs that we use as anchors in our life, that it's easier to have kind of more mind-bending experiences.
Yeah, all bets are off at that point. Like, anything can be anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. So,
are you more on the side of haunted or not?
I think I'm leaning haunted just because I'm leaning haunted because I think there's a couple of things that stand out to me. But most importantly, just again, having all the money that you spend be attached to the, like, especially back in that time, it's like those rifles were being used for killing people. Like, that was war. Like, those, that was, like, the weapons that were being used in wars.
Yeah.
So, like, they were being bought with the intent to end human lives. So, yeah, that's crazy. I do. I think haunted. That's my vibe.
Cool.
I'm locking it in. Locking it in. So, all right. You want to chug and then I'll tell my story?
Yep.
Cool. All right. We'll take a little bit of a break and then we'll hit you with part dose of the episode.
Burbs.
Burbs. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. All right. So, Aiden reloaded. We took a little pee break, and we are back and ready to rumble. Let's do it.
You look Let's like... get ready to rumble.
I looked over at you, and you were like, looked like you were about to speak, so I didn't say anything. And then you didn't speak, so then I was like, what?
I like to keep the listeners on their toes.
Man. Yeah, well, they can't see, so all they just hear is awkward silence.
Then I like to keep you on your toes.
Oh, man. So, all right. Well, the location I am doing today is 1000 Lombard Street, and it's in San Francisco's historic Russian Hill District. And...
Russian district.
Daw district. It is actually, Lombard Street is known as the crookedest street in San Francisco. So.
Crookedest.
Crookedest street. It takes bribes on the daily basis.
Oh, I know which one it is. It's like the one that like goes, I've been on that street.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like, it's super scenic. It's super popular.
Yeah, I do. I think it's like a pretty big location, so that's pretty cool. So you've been where this story happened.
Yeah, I don't know which building it is, but...
Well, it's 1000. Building number 1000.
Sick.
1000 Lombard Street. So this swanky pad was owned by none other than Pat Montandon. Montandon.
Works for me.
M-O-N... T-A-N-D-O-N.
Montandon.
Montandon.
Handon Montandon.
Pat Montandon. So, she cashed in pretty big in the fashion biz. So, you know, she was making clothes, making sick clothes, making dope threads.
Montani the fashionista.
Yeah. So she had some coin to burn. So she ended up at this pad, and it was a pretty sick pad. She was a socialite. She later wrote a book about her experience in this place. So, you know, that will definitely play into it. But it was also, too, have you ever seen the show The Watcher?
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah, it's the one about the people who get watched.
Yes.
And they get letters and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connected to this, some way, shape, or form.
Can't think of how.
I'm not sure. The article said The Watcher is based off of this story. But then I read the story.
No, The Watcher is based on The Watcher story. Like, it's an actual story.
I think it was that. What? So maybe there's a different Watcher.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The one that, like, the popular Watcher is, like, from, like, Connecticut or something. Like, it's okay. East Coast.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that was what I was thinking of. And then the article said, The Watcher is based on this. And I was like,
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it. So maybe there's a different Watcher. That would make sense. But she wrote a book about this.
This is the West Coast Watcher.
Yeah, West Coast Watcher. WW.
WCW.
Yeah.
Women Crush Wednesday and West Coast Watcher.
All right. So the year is 1967. It is a groovy night in San Francisco.
Groovy, baby. Groovy. Yeah.
Montandon, again, being the socialite that she is, being the fashion gal, you know, she liked to throw some shindigs. Like, she liked to, like, just, you know, make the night spicy. So she threw a Zodiac themed party.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's tough.
She threw a Zodiac. Well, why is that tough?
That was in the 60s, wasn't it? Like, that was, like, going on.
What?
The Zodiac killer?
No. Like, Zodiac signs.
Very different vibe.
Yeah, very different vibe.
Not what I thought it was going to be.
Okay, oh, yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
I don't know what a Zodiac killer themed party would be like.
When you said that, when you had such a, like, violent reaction, I was like, wait, why is that a bad, like, I thought you were that anti-Zodiac side.
No, I'm anti-Zodiac killer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take.
Hey, man, you don't know what people are into.
Oh, man. So she threw a Zodiac side party.
Okay.
What's your Zodiac side?
I'm a Gemini.
What does that mean?
I know that it has something to do with twin. So I think it's supposed to mean that I'm, like, two-faced or something, but
gotcha.
I don't know. I don't think I'm two-faced.
Gotcha.
What's your Zodiac sign?
Aquarius.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Cool.
Yep. No idea. If anyone wants to tell us what our Zodiac signs are, me and you can feel free to DM or comment or anything
that. It's never been something that I've really known much about.
Nope.
So
I've had a couple of girlfriends that have known stuff about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't dove into it.
Yeah.
Like, you, I mean, I feel like never mind. Every guy has gotten asked the question, what's your birth chart? What's your birth chart?
Yeah, I don't know anything past I'm a Gemini, if I'm being honest.
I had my birth chart, like, written down.
You know, you're like, you're rising and you're whatever.
I don't remember any of that stuff, but I can tell you where I was born and at what time, so the girl could plug it into the, like,
birth chart. I can too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about.
No.
Past that, though.
Exactly. Yeah. But I know, because every guy has been asked, what's your birth chart? What's your birth chart?
I feel like what's your sign is more.
Yeah, but then when you get the extra level, once you, like, the final boss of the Crystal Girls ask you for, like, what's your birth chart? You're like, I don't know. They're like, well, I need to know exactly what time you were born, in what city. And you're like, this feels like identity theft.
It is honestly kind of cool, though. So, kind of unrelated because I don't know much about like astrology, but
Do you know a lot about the French you took? And the biology?
I'm not even gonna. But
What a wonderful world
like
it
I know that
would
it's based
be.
on like constellations and stuff, and
Yeah.
you
Like,
can
what was
like,
in the sky when you were born?
yeah. Like it's kind of cool that they can like pinpoint that stuff.
That is cool. I agree with you. That is really
I'm
cool.
into astronomy. I'm not like big into astrology at this point, but
Bro, I remember I took an, or I never took it, but I was gonna take it. It was right before COVID. Then COVID happened, so I didn't end up taking it. But I think you might have been the one that I talked to where I was like, dude, I signed up for an astronomy class.
dude, I took one. It was sick.
I was gonna get so high and just like go to astronomy class. And then I realized, or someone told me, maybe it wasn't you then, where I was like, it was the exact class I signed up for. And they were like, bro, I took that last semester and it was so much math. Like it was just all math.
No, I took the fun one.
Oh, you
There
took the
was
fun
a
one?
math one, and then there was a non-math one. I took the non-math one that was the super, like, the professor was so, like, I don't know. He was just an interesting character.
Gotcha.
Like, our first day of class, I think it was my first college class ever, actually.
Whoa.
He got on a bed of nails.
That's wild.
It was crazy.
That's pretty
It
cool.
was super cool.
That's pretty cool.
I was a big fan.
Nice. Very cool. Well, all right. Let's get back to Montandon's Zodiac theme party. So she brought along some astrologers, some palmists, some tarot card readers, just all those other dimension viewers and dwellers to give her partygoers a glimpse of what could be, what has been, and what. I don't know. I was trying to think of a third one to really cap it off, but I couldn't think of
And
anyone.
what will be?
There you go. I think the first one I said was what will be.
No, what can be?
What? Oh, there you go. That's a good one. Yep, you're right. Apparently, she had we might have to nominate this guy for worst party guest of all time.
Ooh.
What do you think he did? So I'm telling you, this guy, potential nomination for worst party guest of all time. What do you think he did?
Okay, so we're talking worst party guest of all time, and we're a ghost podcast.
Yes.
I feel like the connection there is he killed somebody at the party.
No, that would be so much more like understandable or something like that.
What?
Think like worst party guest of all time. Like, what could someone do at a party? Like, what do people do at parties that makes you like irrationally angry?
I mean, okay. I'll say like,
Like for you.
well, I'm weird. I'm not.
Yeah, but just still, like, just get me, like, I want to be in your head right now.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. So,
Okay.
gets belligerently drunk,
Okay.
takes off their clothes,
Interesting.
chews with their mouth like wide open.
Gotcha.
Hate that, dude. The worst fucking, ugh, gross. And then like smashes like a family heirloom
Okay.
vase or something like
Gotcha.
that, or pisses in it, and then leaves.
Gotcha.
I'm guessing he did
So
none of that.
he did none of that. But what he did do, honestly, I would argue was probably worse. Where he, this guy, didn't get the drink that he was promised. So someone was like, oh, I'll make you this drink. Then he didn't get it. So then he put a curse on the house.
Why?
I don't know.
Not even the person, just the house?
No, the house. He's like, I put a curse on the. He goes, I lay a curse upon you. Oh, on you and this house. I do not forget and I do not forgive.
Minor overreaction.
Right? Like, wicked. Oh my gosh. Cursed. This is all cursed.
Okay, well, here's a question for you. What would it take for you to curse a person and the house that you're in?
Oh,
Like, what would they have to do to you?
honestly, not much. I get really angry at the smallest. I'm working on it. But like, I definitely like if you walk slow on the sidewalk,
Okay,
cursed.
so maybe not an overreaction. Maybe getting the drink wrong
Yeah,
would
but I
be
would
like
never
a.
say it out loud. I just silently in my head, like a normal human being,
Well, yeah, but maybe
cursed.
then the curse doesn't work. Like, you have to say it out loud.
Hey, guess what? Like, I also just don't need the curse to work. I just in my head need to go. I need the mental venting of
Okay,
going
okay.
cursed.
What would it take for you to, like, verbally, like, actually curse somebody?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think I have a higher bar than having like my the wrong drink or just not getting a drink. Like I
I think
think
for me, it's like road rage.
yeah.
Like, mostly to do with cars, to be honest.
Yep.
People parking in my parking spot, which is reserved and I pay for, like,
Yeah.
very much not a public spot. Like, it's not like I'm using public street parking and I get pissed off when people are like parked in front of my house. Like, this is a parking spot that I pay for and people park in it all the time, and that gets me so irrationally
So
angry.
you would yell cursed.
Oh, 100%.
Gotcha. Okay.
I've yelled at people for it. Like, I
Gotcha.
actually yelled at people for it
All right.
to
So
their faces. So, like, I'm not against cursing people for it.
gotcha. You're like cursing is definitely on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where my line is. I think it would be like a in the moment thing is what like would get me there. So yeah. But this guy, his line was not getting the drink he was promised.
Sure.
And then ever since then, I mean, this house went completely downhill since then.
Pun intended, because it's actually on a hill.
Yeah. But so it got persistent cold spots, even though the she was setting the thermostat specifically to 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
Jesus
But the house would
Christ.
still be like really fucking cold in some places.
Okay. I have an issue with that, though, because I have a pretty modern apartment. And my thermostat fucks up all the time.
Yeah.
It's not crazy.
No, that's fair. But I still think that's like a
Debunked.
little. Okay. I don't. Whatever. Her dog started to completely act like completely abnormal compared to what he used to act like. So, I mean, unusual behavior, barking at unseen entities, and like just was always stressed out. So, yeah, I think like whenever the dogs start to act a certain way, I definitely think like, oh, there might be something there. The dogs, I feel like for me, are always the sign, but also too, and this is where it like really starts to get weird. There was disembodied laughter, like coming from the house constantly,
That's
and then
creepy.
always every daily at 2 a.m., the song "Mockingbird Hill" would just be heard singing.
Do you know the song?
No idea. Do you?
No.
All right.
I was going to ask you to sing it for me.
So we just listened to the first like 10 seconds of the song.
Fuck
Nope.
that.
It's like a very xylophony, like la-di-da-di-dee,
Yeah, a little too happy for me.
twiddly-dee, twiddly-da. I'm a ghost and I call.
Bars, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, no, fuck that. That's really fucking scary.
Yeah, no thanks.
So that happens there. Every day at 2 a.m. Could you imagine just 2 a.m.? Oh, what time is it? 1:50. Oh shit. Tweedledee, tweedledee-dah.
Actually, that's another thing that gets me irritable. Things that wake me up or like keep me up.
Okay.
So, like, things happening at like the odd hours of the morning.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would get to me.
And then doors lock themselves from the inside. So doors will lock themselves from the inside.
Okay.
Which that's not normal. And then also two blood-like stains appearing on the ceiling.
I've heard of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like bleeding houses.
Yes.
Creepy.
Really fucking creepy, right? So then Patty herself started to experience weird events. Most notably, someone tried to kidnap her. Right in front of the house and like tried to grab her and like drag her away, but she was able to escape. So that's really creepy.
That can be attributed to people suck.
Yeah, and she's probably this hot fashion, rich fashion lady, and
yeah, also you're
the '60s in like, San Fran.
If you're gonna like if you're kidnapping someone, you're probably targeting a wealthier area of town. Yeah. So that's that fair. They can pay a ransom or whatever.
But the most notably was in 1969, one of Montandon's close friends and secretary, I can't speak tonight, Mary Louise Ward, actually died in a fire in the property. But let me rephrase this for you, because she died and there was a fire. So, firefighters respond to the scene. The house is on fire. It's really on fire. And then they get to the bedroom, the master bedroom where she was, and the door was locked, and they couldn't initially get in. They end up getting in, and she's dead face down on the bed. And they determined that she died before the fire started.
Do they know how?
No, still to this day, no cause of death has been found. Or like, anyone's been charged, nothing. But there was a homicide investigation, and just nothing came of it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So someone died, someone, in my mind, got murdered in the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think that's crazy, and her other two closest friends died of suicide.
Not in the house.
Not in the house. But just like your two best friends committed suicide and your other third best friend was murdered.
Aside from the kidnapping, did any like other big events happen to her?
Not really. Not really. But that being said though, she did go through, once all this shit went down, she spent a lot of time doing like exorcisms and not ecstasisms. That's like a mix of ecstasy and existential crisis, maybe. I don't even know what the combination of that was. I think exorcism. Or exercise.
Yeah.
But yeah, she exorcisms. What's the word?
Exercised.
Exercised demons?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she did exercise. But what's the exorcism? What's an exorcism?
What do you mean?
Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so she had exorcisms performed at the house.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can also say she exorcised the house.
I guess that's fair, too. Did all that and then ended up marrying some guy and moved out and sold the place, I believe.
All that over a dude's drink order getting wrong?
Right?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Like, none of this happened before that. So, again, like, I see the skeptic side of you saying that, like, potentially not.
It's just shit luck.
Yeah, but, like, none of it happened before, and then all of it happened after.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, do you think, to me it also felt like it was kind of more ghosts than curse. I mean, that's the reason why I brought it up for the podcast. I guess curses can bring ghosts about, right? But like when you hear the voices and you see the blood on the wall, I think ghosts, not curse.
Yeah.
So maybe he brought hauntings to that place?
Maybe.
Maybe, dude.
Who knows?
Who friggin' knows? But I'm not spending a night there. That's for darn sure.
I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I would spend a night at any place that we've talked about.
I would not.
Yeah, we know.
Most of these places, I would not. Some of them, I would. Most of them, I would not. So.
Okay, between the Winchester house and this house.
This house.
You would choose this house.
The Winchester one, again, just feels so mind-bending that I'm like, I'm not signing up for that, dude. No fucking thing.
I feel like it would just be more like entertaining to go to the Winchester house.
Yeah, but I definitely wouldn't want a ghost hunt there. Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, let me just at 3 a.m. fall into a fucking hole with an EVP camera and nothing else. That's the ultimate Aaron got locked in a basement.
Well, you have a flashlight.
Yeah.
And you probably have flashlight a pretty doesn't have good stairs. Idea. You probably have a pretty good idea of where you can and can't go.
Dude, I don't know. I'm leaning towards no go for me, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna go is that your full story?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go nah.
I'm going y'all.
I just don't buy.
So maybe you just think it's bad luck?
This stuff. Yeah.
Alright. Well, tell us what you guys think though. We wanna know. Haunted or nah. We're torn on this one. Cause I actually am the most torn I've been out of any on this one too. Like I could see it going either way.
Yeah, curses. Yeah. I don't. Especially because it's like just some random dude.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I want to know more about him. I'm sure there's some more research. If we did a second level.
He was also going to a Zodiac party, so he probably had some connection to like.
The spirit world. The
spiritual world, I guess.
That's fair.
But
that's fair. So. Alright, well, we want to hear from you guys, haunted or nah. Definitely like, subscribe, check out our new series that, will it be out by the time this gets released?
Yeah, it should be.
Should be, Paranormal Pints, where we tell user stories or Reddit stories and sip on a couple of points.
Oh, a couple of points.
Throwback to our Dublin episode. And just have some good vibes. Our first one was terrifying for me. And we are going to keep the magic rolling. So,
yeah. And send us any stories that you'd like featured on our Paranormal Pints episodes at spiritsonspiritspod@gmail.com. Or you can just DM them to us. We read all of our messages. So
yes. So cool. We appreciate you all.
See you next week.
Stay spooky.
Peace.
Peace.